Let us together pray for illumination, saying, O Lord, catch us off guard today. Surprise us with some moment of beauty or pain, so that at least for that moment, we may be startled into seeing that you are here with us in your splendor, always and everywhere, barely hidden, beneath, beyond, within this life we breathe. Amen. Psalm 139, and I will read the whole psalm, not just the first 18 verses, so that we may read both bookends. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 139 is so lyrical, so intimate, so comforting in a certain sort of way that we sometimes forget how scary it is. Think about it. The psalmist tells us that God is always with us. We can conceal our thoughts from each other, but not from God. We can hide our shame from others, but never from God. We can outsmart our competitors, but nobody outsmarts God. We can move out of town when we have lost our good name, but nobody can move away from God. God always moves with us. What's so scary is that God is inescapable. We can outlive others, but we can't outlive God. We can keep each other in the dark, but we can't keep God in the dark because God has perfect night vision. We can try to drown ourselves, drown our anxieties by drinking ourselves stupid, but when we come to our senses, God will still be there. If we try to die into the arms of oblivion, we discover that on the other side, God is still there. Even death brings no escape. You know, facts are stubborn things, and the fact is that I can't get away from God. Where would I go? As the psalmist says, if I fly high, so does God. If I sink low, so does God. If I rise with the dawn or set with the evening sun, God rises and sets with me. Up, down, east, west, never mind. There is no exit. I can never get outside of God. Even if I burrow into the womb of the earth, I come back to God. I can't even retreat to the sanctuary of my own mind because God tracks every thought. God knows not only what I say, but also what I think. Not only what I say, but what I almost said. It can make a person crazy. I always have company. I never have privacy. Everywhere I go, I am watched. In 1998, the actor Will Smith played a labor lawyer named Robert Dean in a film entitled Enemy of the State. In this film, Robert Dean, labor lawyer, has a good job, got a lovely family, he's got a Georgetown house. Everything is sunny side up until the day that an old classmate surreptitiously slips a videotape into Robert Dean's shopping bag. The videotape has on it film of the murder of a man. It has the evidence on it that would convict a government official. So the official goes after Robert Dean. He taps Dean's phones, bugs his house. He hacks into Dean's computer and records every keystroke. He films every move that Dean makes. He even bugs Robert Dean's clothing. As the film goes on, you get this awful, creepy sense of what it's like to be watched. Somebody knows when I sit and when I rise. Somebody knows when I come and when I go. Somebody knows which pair of lateral incisors shred my dental floss. Everything I do, somebody knows. Somebody is listening. Somebody has me in a position as if I were trapped in a lab. Here's the nightmare that turned Orwell and Kafka into household names. Here's the threat to personal privacy that people hate so much that they will do anything to escape it. And now, right here in the Holy Bible, the psalmist declares that our lack of privacy is not just some Orwellian nightmare. This is Bible truth, that God is watching. God is listening. Around every corner, at the end of every hallway, up or down any flight of stairs, there is God. Paul Tillich, one of the great names in theology of the 20th century, his theology, some people think, is like the peace of God, it passes all understanding. You know, places in Tillich that are just impenetrable. You'll say things like, here we have both an existential and an essential dynamic that are merged in the concrete self-transcendent ambiguity of the now. And you feel like saying right back to the page, could you give some examples of that? Paul Tillich once commented on this psalm and said something perfectly clear. He said that when people sense that they have no privacy from God, they want to kill God. They want God out of their lives. If God keeps moving in on me, if God keeps crowding me, if God will give me no room to get away, then I will attack. I will get rid of God. I will deny God, reject God, remove God. I will pass a law that outlaws God. I will organize a conference that reconceives God. I will write a book that reframes God so that I can get God out of my hair. In our foolish independence, we sometimes have no room for God. Why did our Savior end up on a Roman cross? I said last Thursday that I think the Gospel of Mark tells us that when God gets too close, people want to cross God out. And now here we have, in Psalm 139, the problem that all believers face. What if God gets too close to me? Brothers and sisters, I think the gospel tells us, every leaf of the New Testament tells us, and for that matter of the Old Testament, that it is safe to give in to the God we cannot escape. It is safe to surrender to the God we cannot outlive. Isn't God our Maker and Redeemer? Isn't God the one who has crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercy? What if we accept the inescapable God? What if we even confess that our only comfort in life and in death is that we are not our own, but belong in body and in soul to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ? Couldn't it be a comfort that our secret life, dreary as it sometimes is, couldn't it be a comfort to know inside the precincts of our own skulls that God loved us while we were still sinners, that God saves us beyond all of our imagining? Couldn't it be a comfort to know that God sees us through and through? Couldn't it be a comfort knowing that nobody else is up to that job? Our secrets are safe only with God, truly safe. You know, when our bad secrets get out, as Richard Nixon's did, as Bill Clinton's did, as Martha Stewart's did, when our bad secrets get out, people discuss them and exploit them and get self-righteous about them, but they do not respond to them with the perfect sorrow and perfect love of God. When our good secrets get out, people may doubt them or envy them or mock them, but they do not respond to them with the perfect joy and perfect love of God. Oh God, you hem me in. You lay your hand on me before and behind. But what if God hemming us in is not a trap, but a cradle of grace? What if God's hand on us is a wounded hand, a hand wounded by our transgressions and bruised by our iniquities, and laid upon us in love as a parent lays a hand on a child? What if God keeps watch, not like Big Brother, but like Jesus in Gethsemane, watching and waiting to do his terrible work of love even while it is midnight in his own soul? At the beginning of this wonderful psalm, the psalmist declares, O God, you have searched me and you know me. But what if we take the end of the psalm, the bookend, as an invitation? O God, search me and know me. Know my heart. Test whether there is anything offensive in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Robert Dean was under surveillance, and he wanted out. We are under care, and we want in. We want in with the God who knew us and loved us when we were no larger than the tip of a knitting needle. Brothers and sisters, I have come here this morning to say that it could be terrifying to be watched, or it could be a comfort beyond all thinking and imagining. Everything depends on who is watching. Let us pray to God. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know me in the light and in the dark. You know when my pride makes me swell, and you know when my shame makes me shrink. You are familiar with all my ways, and you love me still. Nothing I can do will make you love me more. Nothing I can do will make you love me less. You know how long I shall live, and in what way, and with what ending to my life. And when my life ends, O God, I shall awake and discover that I am with you still. And so now today, we move into this new day, pausing now in the stillness of this place to give you thanks for that which has nourished and kept us. We give you thanks, O God, that you are never farther than the reach of our need or our prayer. We give you thanks for human love that can be old and deep, for people who may be trusted, for children who are delightful in ways that we can never fully describe. We give you thanks, O God, for the brothers and sisters we meet in this good school, for those among us, our colleague Vernon and others, who help us to give you praise. We give you thanks, O God, for all whose work is a magnet drawing us toward your splendor. Especially we thank you for Jesus Christ and for the brilliance of his light. Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, for the brilliance of his light that forces the shadows to retreat. We thank you, O God, for his suffering and for his victory and for the fact that we may follow in his wake. We give you thanks for all the men and women of all the ages who today will whisper the name of Christ. For all today who work in Christ's name, we pray your gift and your love. For those across the world who learn languages and build churches and struggle for justice, we pray that you will touch them with your divine favor.
To those who try as best they can to deal with all the twists and turns of human fate, who ponder moral ambiguities in a fallen world, O God, give wisdom and peace. To all who faithfully nurse loved ones, or who lead the way through the labyrinths of government care, or who speak in the name of Christ against human evil, O God, give strength and the confidence that even when no one else notices and no one else applauds, still all heaven rejoices because once more, across the world, your kingdom comes and your will is done. Now give us sympathy, O God, for each other. For those of us whose life is a song, teach us to weep with those who weep. And for any of us, O God, who has descended toward the dark, we pray that in your mercy, in some way, you will help us to rejoice with those who rejoice. We confess to you, O God, that in the days ahead we shall not be smart enough or good enough or clever enough to keep from stumbling. And yet, when we awake, we shall be with you still. So let the sound of your voice and the comfort of your presence and the strength of your arm, let these things be our rock and our comfort, O God, our Savior and Redeemer, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.